Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Yesterday we started a chapter, Babu Nahi Anil Ida, the chapter on the prohibition of causing harm. And this is such an important aspect of our deen, that we don't cause harm to anybody. It doesn't matter whether the person is somebody that we know, somebody that is a stranger, somebody from our country, somebody who speaks our language, somebody who speaks another language. Doesn't matter what color this person is, doesn't matter what financial background is. We don't harm and we don't hurt anybody in any way, whether it is financially, whether it is physically, whether it is mentally, whether it is emotionally. Whatever we do, we are very careful. Sometimes you'll find a person, he'll think that nothing of it. He'll get one sad news and he said, let me send this sad news to somebody. This is what happened here and how many children were killed and how many ladies were killed. And he'll send that message to maybe 10 people and 20 people and they'll forward it. Now there's no need to make somebody sad. In deen, we don't need to make anybody sad. If that message is going to read one widow who's got a weak heart already, she's already saddened by the loss of her husband, all we're going to do is make her more sad. So Islam also is so careful that even the news we give, let us be very careful who we give the news, when we give the news, what time we give the news. As Sheikh Zakaria rahmatullah alayhi, on one occasion, it was in the month of Ramadan, and just before Sehri, a message had come of some family member that had passed away. Now it was the style and the tartib of his family that the whole night, nearly the whole night, they would stay up the whole night in ibadat. And after Sehri, they would read the Fajr Salah. After Fajr Salah, then they would take some rest. So now when the message had come before Sehri. So he told his mutaalliqeen, his satis around, he said, don't let this message go home. This funeral message, don't let it go home. Because they have been up the whole night and they haven't taken Sehri. If they get this sad message now, they won't feel like eating the Sehri also. You know, they got a whole day's fast to keep. If they don't eat the Sehri, how difficult it will be to keep the fast. So this message mustn't go now. It shouldn't go home. And after that also, he told them, see, don't give them the message after Fajr also. Because if you're going to give them the message after Fajr, the sad news will prevent them from sleeping. Whole night they were awake. And if after Fajr they don't sleep, now when are they going to rest? So let them take their rest also. And when they wake up around about 10 o'clock or 10:30, that time now this message can go that there's some funeral, some family member had passed away. So in that time they were already eaten, would have already taken their rest, and now they would have got the message. Now see how careful they were, just with the funeral message. What time to give the funeral message? Don't inconvenience. Often it happens we may phone somebody in the middle of the night, whereas the janazah is only the next day, 10 o'clock or 11 o'clock. So the person won't miss it. Or even if you phone the person maybe about an hour before Fajr, enough time he's got to prepare to make it there for the janazah, if the janazah is after Fajr. So the idea is we've got to be very, very careful as far as these dealings are concerned, as far as our akhlaq is concerned, as far as not causing harm to anyone is concerned. Hazrat Mawlana Ashraf Ali Thanvi Sahib rahmatullahi alayhi would address his muta'alliqeen, his associates, and he would tell them, his murideen, he would tell them that when you harm a person financially, when you cause any financial harm to a person, maybe in that business deal you didn't do it right, or you didn't pay him well, or you should have paid him on time and you didn't pay him on time, whatever it is, or the commodity you may have sold may have been a little bit reject, you didn't know about it, or some, they cause some financial harm to the person. What it does, it causes pain to his heart. It causes some type of nuksan. Why? Because that money is there in his heart, because he liked that money, he liked that wealth, whatever it is. So it causes some pain in the heart. But when you don't treat a person well, when your dealings with a person, social dealings are not right, when their muasharat is not right, the way you interact with people is not right, then forget just the pain in the heart, a nafrat in the heart is created, a hatred in the heart now, a seed of hatred is created in the heart between you and that person because you didn't treat him right. So be very, very careful. You will put a lot of attention on how you treat people, how we conduct ourselves with people. So this is what this chapter we are doing is all about. وعنه قال قال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم من أحب أن يزحزح عن النار ويدخل الجنة فلتأته منيته وهو يؤمن بالله واليوم الآخر وليأتي إلى الناس الذي يحب أن يؤتى إليه. حضرت أبو عبد الله بن عمرو بن عاص رضي الله عنه narrates that رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم said, one who desires to be far away from Jahannam and be admitted into Jannah should pass away whilst believing in Allah and the last day. A person who desires to be close to Jannah and to be far away from the fire of Jahannam, so So he desires to be admitted into Jannah. He wants to go to Jannah, be admitted in Jannah, and he wants to be far away from the fire of Jahannam. Then he should pass away whilst having Iman. Believing in Allah and last day means whilst having Iman, in having all the tenets of faith in him, believing in everything. And then Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, and he should treat people as he would like them to treat him. What a beautiful principle we taught here, is that treat people as we would like people to treat us. So now if we're not sure whether we're doing the right thing, ask ourselves, if that person had to treat me like this, if he had to be with me like this, a simple example, if he is a employer, he's the boss, and he's treating the staff in a certain way, ask himself, the person should ask himself, if I was the staff, and my boss treated me like this, would I like it? If I like it, then I know I'm treating my staff well. If I didn't like it, if I don't like it, then I know that I'm not treating them well. A person should always put himself in the shoes of the next person. Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam teaching is such a nice thing. Then he should treat people as he would like them to treat him. He should put himself in the shoes of the next person and treat him accordingly as though he was the next person. So if he's in a marriage, then he would say, if I was the wife, how would I would like my husband to treat me? So when he thinks like this, then Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam telling us that this is such a beautiful prescription for a person to be admitted into Jannah and to be far away from the fire of Jahannam. What a beautiful ticket this is. But the thing is, simple thing is, ask ourselves that are we doing those things that we like, how we like other people to do to us, how we like other people to treat us, are we treating other people? So like that, if a person is a son and to the father, he must ask himself that, am I treating my father the way I would like my son to treat me? Or am I treating my staff, am I treating my neighbors, am I treating the elderly in the family, am I treating people in general? Or when it comes to the poor, he asks himself, if I was a poor person, how would I have liked a rich person to treat me? Am I treating the rich like, am I treating the poor like that? So continuously, if a person applies this one principle, it's a very nice principle to treat everyone nicely. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us all the tawfiq. This is a long topic, this topic about akhlaq and muasharat. In fact, Imam Muhammad rahmatullah alayhi was a great student of Imam Abu Hanifa rahmatullah alayhi. He was asked that, you have written so many different kitabs, so much of fiqh, and he had so much of knowledge and ilm, but how come you didn't write a kitab on tasawwuf and on good character, treating people well? How come you didn't write this particular topic? So he explained that, I wrote a kitab as far as dealings are concerned, how you deal with the next person, as far as your business dealings are concerned, how you interact with a person. If a person brings that in his life, then he's got the essence of deen in his life. In other words, the way he's treating the person, he's very careful that this business dealings of his, the way he's interacting with people, he brought this in his life, then the essence of deen he's brought in his life. So here he's explaining to us such an important factor. It's one thing, yesterday we mentioned that there are four branches of deen. That these four branches of deen, one is ibadat, one is akhlaqiyat, one is mu'amalat, and one is mu'asharat. But and under ibadat, these four things, that a person gets, it's important for him to get these four things under ibadat that come, it's important for him to get it right. That he gets his roza right, his fasting must be right, his salah must be right, his zakat must be right, and his hajj must be right. So this is important. So sometimes we find that a person just takes one thing. For example, he's fasting nafil fast Monday and Thursday, and he thinks I got all his ibadat right. It's not all right, he's still got his salah to get right. When he gets his salah right, now he only got two out of four right. Now he must still make it a point of getting his zakat right. That his zakat now he gives. So he gets his roza right, he gets his zakat right, he gets his fasting right, and he gets hajj. If he can make hajj, then he gets that right also. Now if he gets all four under ibadat, it's only one quarter of deen that he's got right. He still has to work on his akhlaq by inside. How's my inside? Is my inside correct? That is the next branch of deen. After that, is now he's got this right, he should see, how is my business dealing? This is another branch of deen. And then the fourth branch of deen, how am I interacting with people? When a person has got this holistically, then he's got deen in him holistically. Otherwise, what happens? We just get one branch of deen, one aspect of deen, and we think we are holding on to deen. We forget that deen is broad spectrum. There's so many other aspects to deen that we need to bring into our lives. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us all the tawfiq of making amal. Subhanallah bihamdi, subhanakallahumma wa bihamdika, nashhadu an la ilaha illa anta, nastaghfiruka wa natubu ilayk. Subhana rabbika rabbil izzati amma yasifun, wa salamun ala al mursaleen, walhamdulillahi rabbil alameen.